You have the Sophia trial, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't one of the arms to go to exemestane?
Yeah, that there is comparing exemestane after an AI versus Faslodex. And the real reason for that, I think, is to test this idea. Are you better with a different mechanism of action, an anti-estrogen, you know, blocking drug, as against another drug that simply keeps your estradiol level at the same rate? And I think that will be a fascinating result. In fact, there's two studies. There's the EFFECT study, which we'll report sooner. And the EFFECT study is only testing that question. Post-AI, exemestane versus Faslodex. Another AI versus an estrogen blocking drug and a, you know, pure anti-estrogen. And so that study has finished recruiting and is now in the follow-up phase, and I'm sure we'll report in the foreseeable future. The second study, the Sophia study, has got a third arm to it. And the third arm involves Faslodex as well, but it involves continuing the non-steroidal AI that the patient's just progressed on. And the rationale for that is that if you look at cell culture, then if you deplete MCF7 cells of estradiol in the media, you can make that bell-shaped curve that we see when you normally increase estradiol, you see an increase and it drops off when you give high-dose estrogens. You can move that bell-shaped curve to the left so that it becomes much more sensitive to very low levels of estrogen. And what happens then is if you titrate into what's called long-term estrogen-deprived cell line, if you titrate Faslodex into that, you can inhibit the cell line. If you then pick a dose of Faslodex, say 10 to the minus 8, that inhibits that long-term estrogen-deprived cell line, and then you retitrate in estradiol again, then you can compete that out. And so the rationale for this third arm of the Sophia study is that when they become resistant to aromatase inhibitors, maybe, nobody knows, but maybe that's because the cells are becoming sensitive to the very low levels of estradiol. And so when you put Faslodex in, yes, you might be able to compete out that estradiol, but if you then stop the AI, you start to raise the dose of estrogen again, and so you get this competition between estradiol and Faslodex because they compete for the receptor on a one-to-one basis. And so the idea is that maybe if you keep the estradiol level down by continuing on this non-steroidal AI, that when you come in with the Faslodex on progression on the AI, you come in there, keep the AI on, that you may have a better blocking effect. Now, it's all cell culture work.
But it makes sense.
It makes sense. And the other thing that may help that hypothesis, it's not exactly the same scenario. The other thing that may help that is Angela Brody's data in the xenograft model, where she gave letrozole in this case, another non-steroidal third generation AI. She gave letrozole or Faslodex or the combination. And she showed that the combination was more effective in controlling those than either alone. Now, that's slightly different from where somebody becomes resistant on an AI and then you come in with Faslodex. But it does still suggest that the combination is important. And I suppose that's also been the rationale for some of the development of Faslodex as well, which is there's, at 250 milligrams, we know it is an effective dose. But the question is, can you make it more effective? And, you know, the two ways potentially to do that would be to increase the dose of Faslodex or to reduce the estradiol level. Or you may even want to try both combinations together in a combined approach. And so I think people are beginning to see that anti-estrogens, in particular Faslodex, you can't look at it only on its own. It's this combination of how it competes out with the natural estradiol levels.